Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today I have Sam Basu of Progress, makers of Telerik. Sam is a technologist, an author, speaker. He's a Microsoft MVP, loves gadgets, and he has a long developer background. He now spends much of his time advocating modern web, mobile, and cloud development on Microsoft Telerik stacks. In his spare time, he travels, he likes fast cars, cricket, and culinary adventures with the family. You can find him on the internet at SamDip. That's S-A-M-I-D-I-P. Sam, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Glad to be on the show, Jesse.
Well, we're glad to have you here. We definitely want to talk and focus in on Telerik's products, but what I'm hoping we'll do is to look at the overall strategy for building mobile applications.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so why don't we start by an overview of the various ways that you can build mobile applications and give each of them a definition.
Sure. So this kind of goes back to 2007 timeframe when the iPhone first came out and the whole smartphone boom started. And here we are in 2016 and a lot has happened. And we have, as a developer community, gotten ourselves very matured platforms and frameworks, but kind of also dug ourselves into a little bit of a hole because it's a lot if you consider just the options. And I was speaking to a friend of mine the other day. He is a developer who has web applications. And one day his boss came and said, hey, can you build me a mobile app? Turns out our analytics say most of our customers are using our apps from mobile devices. So can you build us a mobile app? So he was like, yeah, sure. Give me a couple of weeks. And then he started looking into how exactly he wanted to build his next mobile app. And that's when he got himself very confused because there are just like so many different things. You can do so many different ways and paradigms in which you can go build your mobile apps. But I think one thing is for sure, it's 2016 and we want to target as many platforms as we can. I mean, it's really a sad thing to say that my app is only on iOS or only on Android or Windows. It really should be a cross-platform story if possible. So the way I see it, and Jesse, you can correct me if I'm wrong, there are five broad ways in which we can build mobile apps today. And these are very broad categories that I'm defining. So to begin with, one common approach is mobile web, where you're building your web applications, which simply work on mobile devices. And we'll dig into each of these things as we go along. Second is native applications. This is where you're building native applications on iOS, Android, and Windows using the platform SDKs and all of the platform-specific paradigms and tools. And this is where your app is native and it's on every app store. This is difficult to do if you're a single developer, but it's still a very kind of attractive option. So that's native.
So let me just clarify. For native, that would mean writing in Java for Android and either Object C or Swift for iOS. Do I have that right? That's
yes.
What you mean by native?
Exactly. So okay. For each platform, for iOS, you pick up Xcode and you write your code in Objective C or Swift. For Android, you do Java with Eclipse or Visual Studio. And for Windows, you go either XAML, C-sharp, or some variants of WinJS with JavaScript. But fundamentally, these three platforms, I mean, these are the three most popular mobile platforms. They're pretty different. I mean, they do similar things. They have similar UI paradigms. But in terms of pure SDKs and how a developer goes about building his native app, it's actually quite different. And for a single developer to know all of these three things and be good at it is really difficult. And also, if you're an enterprise, for you to maintain like three teams who do three different things but kind of have to collaborate to build the same look and feel of the same app is also kind of costly and it's challenging, right? So I think when it comes to native, if you do have the resources and the time and the money, by all means, go native. You're going to be closest to the metal. You are building on the platform for which your mobile app is supposed to run. It's going to be a beautiful experience, but it's going to come at an expense.
Well, we should come back to that because I want to challenge that idea a little bit and talk about the difference between when you say closer to the metal, whether building in Objective-C for iOS or building in Xamarin for iOS are going to be different in terms of what's actually produced.
Sure.
Because my understanding is that Xamarin produces native code. And so there's no binary difference between the two.
It does. And we'll talk about some of the binaries and the subtle differences.
Okay.
So the next three are where we kind of challenge this platform-specific mentality and kind of try to go broaden our funnel and try to go cross-platform. So the most common way in which you might hear people using web technologies to build apps, it's called web hybrid. And this is commonly called as like hybrid apps. Whenever people say that, that's kind of what they mean. And this is where you are actually using your web technologies and your web skills like JavaScript, HTML, and CSS to build these apps which look just like a native app and they have store presence and so on, but they're built using web technologies. And we'll talk about how that underlying platform works. Most of them are using something called Apache Cordova or like the PhoneGap type of framework. And to the user, it doesn't look like it's a native, it doesn't look like it's a hybrid app, because most users don't care about like down to the millisecond performance, but there are some downsides. That's web hybrid. And there are some popular frameworks that kind of help you along. There is Ionic, there is a lot of things from us, Progress and Telerik. Then you come to the native side of the story, because hybrid, as nice as it is, and I still think it's got a legit strategy and it's a good business case for lots of line of business apps. But some of the things where hybrid gets a little dinged on is one of them is performance. And I think the, part of the reason is for the most part, hybrid apps are well performing. If you pick up any modern phone, iOS, Android, and Windows, your hybrid apps should work just fine, because the modern operating systems on these phones have come a long way. And all of these hybrid apps are essentially running inside a giant web view, which is like the Chrome-less browser that each platform has. And so as the browser and the operating system comes a long way, so does the hybrid apps, because they perform faster. But I think the problem is you can still walk into like a Walmart and get an Android phone, which is running Android like 2 years back, right? So that browser is not as good as a modern browser. And so your performance of your app, it kind of suffers a little bit. It stutters a little bit. So this is kind of the reason why people take a kind of negative outlook on hybrid sometimes. So this is where you say, okay, I don't want to quite do hybrid, but I do want to still utilize my skills. So how can I go cross-platform and still be building native apps? And this is an interesting category, because now you're truly building native apps. So this is where you had mentioned Xamarin. That's actually very popular if you're a C-sharp developer. This is the whole cross-compile story, where you're writing your apps in C-sharp and XAML, and it gets compiled down to native binaries on iOS, Android, and Windows. And that's the whole cross-compile story with Xamarin. You get fantastic tooling on Visual Studio on Windows, or Xamarin Studio on iOS, or on a Mac. And you don't feel like you're writing a native app on each platform, because they are kind of giving you the APIs through a C-sharp layer, and you're just writing C-sharp and XAML. So that's one way. If you are completely invested into C-sharp and XAML type tooling, then by all means, I think Xamarin is the boat that you should get on. But if you're a web guy, I think another set of technologies have kind of become very popular in the last couple of years. This is where it's kind of what I call JS native. So native apps that are cross-platform, but built with JavaScript. And this is where you get a couple of big players. We have Nativescript from Progress. This is our open source framework for building truly native apps with JavaScript. And there's also React Native from Facebook. And there are a couple of other smaller players. But this is a way in which you can truly build native apps, but with using web technologies like JavaScript. React Native uses like a shadow DOM HTML type thing. Nativescript is actually DOM-less, so we just let you write a abstracted UI, and that translates down to native UI and binary code for each platform. So these are the five kind of broad things in which I kind of classify as to how you can go build your mobile app. The thing is, there is no one-size-fits-all. There is no one clear winner. The choice of what you pick really depends on your target framework, the kind of app you're trying to build, your customers, your own skill level, your skills and expertise of your team that you're on, and kind of the price that you want to pay moving forward. Like, how do you want to maintain your code base? Do you really want a single code base? What type of platforms and tools that you like working with?
Okay, let me see if I can try to narrow this down a bit in terms of advice to potential clients.
Sure.
And tell me when you disagree. The first thing that I would say is, unless you already have a team that is building in the native technology, I would cross that one off the list, because building just even iOS and Android, you get virtually 0% reuse.
That's true. However, I mean, I would not count native entirely out, because there are some use cases where you want to be, like if you're building a game or something which is very graphics intensive. I mean, true that Xamarin and NativeScript, I mean, some of these things will do some graphics accelerated UI, but it still is not as native as native can be. So I think for some specific instances, and especially if you have the resources, like you said, the team and the money and the expertise, I think native is still great. If you can say that I want to build just for iOS or I want to build just for Android, and maybe I have two teams which do both.
Okay, and if you have a set of web programmers, now you've named three different options for web programmers, which is mobile web, hybrid, and JS native.
Right.
And help me differentiate who you would recommend those three different ones to. What would be the differentiating characteristics?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. So let's begin with the lowest hanging fruit. And I think that's mobile web for a lot of us. If you have a web application that works right now on your desktop browsers, mobile web might be the easiest thing for you to do to get your app on a mobile device. And by that, I mean, it's 2016 and the web, open web, has come a long, long way. There is no reason why your web application cannot work nicely on a phone. And by nicely, I don't mean you should be able to run. Sure, I mean, any phone browser will be able to load up your desktop website, but I will have to pinch and zoom and kind of scroll around. It's not a very good experience. But if you make it mobile friendly, then all of your controls are suddenly touch-friendly, they are bigger, they are easier to navigate, and so on. And there are plenty of frameworks, actually, that do a pretty nice job. I mean, case in point, there is Twitter Bootstrap, which is something you can use from inside of like ASP.NET-type frameworks. Like we make Kendo UI, which is very, very popular. It's an open-source HTML JavaScript framework for the open web and mobile. And what each of these frameworks do is they give you UI controls, which are adaptive. So from a browser standpoint, we will know whether you're rendering it on a phone browser versus a desktop browser, and you see subtle differences in which how the UI renders, and things just become much more touch-friendly. Now, it's not as easy to say just make all of our UI controls touch-friendly. Sometimes making it mobile web-friendly requires a little bit of redesign and thought. I mean, you cannot just cram everything into a page. You kind of have to have a separation of concerns and separation of pages, but you can make your web applications work nicely on mobile devices. And there are plenty of frameworks that do that today.
And when you say that Progress's solution or Telerik's solution is open source, does that mean that it is free or that it's a commercial product, but that is open source?
Well, great question. So it's a bit of both. So Kendo UI, for example, it's a library of about 75 plus UI controls and framework pieces. And by UI controls, I mean, let's stop reinventing the wheel. Things like charts and graphs and sliders and dashboards, things like that, which are hard to engineer. Don't rebuild those things. Those have been done many times over. So Kendo UI, out of the 75 plus controls, I think 60 of them are completely free and they're out on GitHub. They're open source. There's nothing stopping you from just grabbing them, changing them and using them as is. But Kendo UI comes with a commercial variant, which has some of our harder hitting controls like grids and charts, some of the more enterprise friendly UI controls, which you normally don't want to put on a regular app. Those are usually put in enterprise apps and those guys will use Kendo UI Professional.
Okay, great. So we've talked about native and mobile web. And why would someone go with hybrid versus mobile web?
Sure. So that's a great question. So where mobile web falls a little short is your presence. Now, if you just have a restaurant or a church or a soccer group and you have a website, you just want to make it work nicely on mobile devices, you can do that pretty easily, right? And we have talked about some frameworks that help you. But what mobile web does not give you is a store presence, right? So if you're a business and you want your users to go find your app on the respective app stores, you won't have that with mobile web. And correspondingly, you won't have a monetization channel, so to speak. So you won't have revenue coming in. Maybe you'll have things you can buy off your website, but you can't charge people for the apps that they're downloading, and you cannot charge for like in-app purchases. So like web is really open, so you cannot charge for things. And I mean, it's also from a business standpoint, it helps to have a store presence sometimes. I mean, you can put like logos to say, go download our apps. That's nice, right? So this is kind of the reason where you switch to a hybrid model, where you're still using most of the things that you have for your web application, your HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, except now you actually have a store presence. And I don't know if you remember, this was back in like 2010 when PhoneGap became like very popular. And this is the same type of idea where you can bundle up your JavaScript, your HTML and CSS, purely web stuff, into an app package and make it available into the app store. Behind the scene, what the user doesn't know is you're actually rendering your entire app inside of a web view, which is Chrome for for Android, a variant of Edge or IE for Windows, and Safari for iOS. Each of them have a web view component, which is a Chrome-less browser, and you're rendering your entire app inside of that, and you're complete with navigation, and you have some frameworks that help you out. As a user, you don't see that it's not a native app. It's just like any other app. It's in the store. And the nice thing is, so PhoneGap started out in, I think, 2008 or 2010 is when they got popular, and then Adobe, I think, maybe not Adobe, but somebody else bought them. And so PhoneGap, as we know it, is like a branded distribution. I think it's Adobe of what we know as PhoneGap. But the open source version of that is called Cordova. Actually, let me correct that. It's Apache that bought them. So Apache Cordova is now the open source framework that helps you bundle up all of your web assets and make it a hybrid app. So the hybrid app is really a great story if you have line of business applications, or if you have just a business where you want to have a presence in the store. It's easy for you to just bring in a web developer who can develop the whole app in HTML, CSS, and JavaScript and still have a store presence, have monetization. And the nice thing is this whole Cordova ecosystem has come a long way, and you have these things called plugins. So a plugin is a way for you to have a JavaScript bridge into a native API access layer. So by that I mean, like, if your app needs like camera access or accelerometer or GPS or any of these platform-specific things, you can do all of that from a JavaScript layer, because Apache Cordova gives you those plugins. And there is also a lot of stuff from the community. Cordova maintains a plugins directory. Telerik maintains a verified plugins directory. So there are lots of plugins. So there is absolutely nothing on a native UI platform or a native mobile platform that you cannot do from a hybrid app. Really, you can do everything. So that's the web hybrid story. Does that make sense?
Yes, and also helps differentiate mobile web versus hybrid.
Right.
Why don't we go on to JS Native, which is, I think, the next step up in what can be done by web programmers.
Sure. So like we talked about, so hybrid is still great, and it's a good option. But if you are really building a cutting-edge app where down to a second performance is important to you, then you may not want to go the hybrid route. You really want to build native apps for each platform. So the way some of the JS Native works is different from how Xamarin works, and we can talk about Xamarin in a bit. But JavaScript Native is a way in which you write your applications in JavaScript, but then it gets rendered as truly native UI controls. And this is true of NativeScript, this is true of React Native. Let me talk about NativeScript, which is the way we do it, and React Native does it a little differently. So NativeScript stack is actually built with three technologies, which are very generic ones. So JavaScript, XML, and CSS. There is no HTML, there is no DOM whatsoever. So you write your UI in your XML. And you might think, really XML? But XML is really like the lowest common denominator. What you're writing is really like XAML. Yeah, I mean, the tools are actually built by folks who build a lot of our Windows tooling, and they come from a XAML background. So it's really XAML that you're writing. And it has like two-way data binding and all of the good stuff. So you write your UI in XML, which is actually an abstracted UI. So when you say, give me a text box, give me a button, give me a list view, behind the scenes, we will turn around and render that as a native text box or a native list view on iOS, Android, and Windows, which is coming, right? Now, that's your UI layer. And then you write your business logic in JavaScript, and then you style your UI with CSS. So it's kind of a mixture of desktop technologies and some web technologies. And CSS is something you might find a lot of comfort in if you come from the web background. You can use things like Sass or so on and other things to kind of not write pure CSS if you don't like to. There are things like Babel, which will compile it down to pure CSS. So JavaScript is your business logic layer. Now, having said that, that's not the only thing you can do. You can also write your apps in TypeScript, which, as you know, it's a variant, it's a superset of JavaScript, which helps bring in a lot of the object-oriented mindset. A lot of that .NET developers, we come from an object-oriented mindset, and we do not like some of the dynamism that JavaScript brings. And JavaScript, for all that it is, it does bring in some weird things. So if you don't want to write pure JavaScript, write it in TypeScript. And not just that, when you talk about web frameworks like Angular, we have been working with Google quite a bit. So you can actually write NativeScript apps truly in TypeScript and Angular too. So you can render the UI components from an Angular standpoint. We give you nice wrappers that will render out your UI components, and then your business logic stays in TypeScript. So essentially what we are doing with all of these JS native type applications is letting you write your applications in JavaScript or JavaScript type languages, and then your assets are actually shipped as is in your app container. So you are actually shipping XML JavaScript in your app container, because if you remember, unlike Xamarin, JavaScript is not compiled. So we are not compiling anything. It's all at runtime. And then at runtime, there's a very thin layer of a JavaScript virtual machine, and we use the corresponding virtual machine of each mobile platform. And that virtual machine gives us access to all of the native APIs and the native things that we want to do on each platform. So you're still shipping JavaScript type things and XML and your UI styling bits, but then at runtime, they turn around and get rendered as native apps on every device. And React Native does similar things, but with HTML and with a Shadow DOM.
And let's go on to talk about Xamarin, and then for a few minutes, let's talk about Telerik's contribution on each of these.
Sure. So I love Xamarin a lot, I'm sure, as you do too. So Xamarin is a great solution started by Miguel and those guys, starting from the Mono days. And Xamarin is a very mature platform and framework right now where you can truly build native cross-platform apps from Visual Studio or Xamarin Studio on a Mac. The nice thing with Xamarin is you get to write pure C#, and your UI is in XAML. If you're using pure Xamarin iOS and Xamarin Android, you might have to build a little bit of the native layers, native UIs in each platform. If you're using Xamarin Forms, then you get the UI abstraction as well. So your UI layer is also shared, not just your business logic in C#. And then all of that gets compiled down, like you said, to native bits on iOS, Android, and Windows. What you are shipping, though, with your app right now is the Mono framework, which is the thing that translates your C# down into native binaries for each platform. So that's just a little bit of overhead compared to native apps. But again, it feels just like any other native app. Performance is superb. I guess the differences with JS Native and a cross-compiled native is how the app ships. So when you talk about NativeScript or React Native, your apps ship with your code as is. While when you come talk about Xamarin, your app is getting compiled down, because it's C# that you're writing. It's getting compiled down to an IL and then down to native programming languages on each platform, and you're also rendering the UI. So it's just how the apps are kind of bundled up and performing at runtime versus things being done at compile time.
With Xamarin Forms, you get some fairly large percentage of reuse in the 90 to 99% across the business logic and the UI. What's the respective kind of reuse that you get with JS Native?
It could as much be 100%. So, I mean, just like what Xamarin does as well, NativeScript and React Native do similar things. So you'll realize that you can do most of what you are wanting from an abstracted UI layer, right? So most of the common stuff is there with an abstracted layer. But once in a while, you might come across as like a UI element, which is only there on iOS. You don't have a corresponding version on Android or Windows. So both in Xamarin, as we saw at Evolve conferences and at Build, and with NativeScript, you can at any point of time jump in and render a native UI control on a specific platform if you'd like. Those are the only pieces where you're jumping off and doing your own thing. But if you don't, then it truly is a single code base where you're sharing not just your business logic, but also your UI logic, because the UI is written in an abstracted layer, which gets translated down to the native bits at runtime. So it really is just a single code base, and you have complete reusability between platforms.
So if a client calls and they don't have an application yet, mm-hmm. and their plan is to build a mobile application on iOS and on Android, mm-hmm. is it reasonable to start by asking them, do they have C# programmers or web programmers? And if they have C# programmers, pointing them to Xamarin, and if they have web programmers, pointing them to JS Native, is that a reasonable approach to deciding, or do you need to go through all five options?
I think that's reasonable, because really what you want is the cross-platform story and as much code reuse as you can. If you are invested into C#, by all means, I mean, go Xamarin. When it comes to web technologies, you might still have to make the decision whether you want to go truly native or whether the hybrid route is okay for you. And again, this depends on what exactly your app is. From a development standpoint, the technologies that you deal with are very, very similar. So at that point, you might as well just write a native app, because it's cross-platform and it's native, so why not?
Okay, let's zero in on those two and what Telerik has to offer for those programmers. So why don't we start with Xamarin? what is available for the Xamarin Programmer from Telerik?
Sure. So, Progress or Telerik, as you call it, we are a development company, and we want to give you the tools to do your job right. And we really don't want to handhold. I know some people like the prescriptive route of just tell us one way of doing things. We are really not doing that. We are just telling you, do whatever makes sense for you and your app and your company. We are just going to give you the right tools and frameworks to help you build that. So we really have tools for just about any way you build your mobile apps. And we talked about five different things. But when it comes to some of these cross-platform stories, in particular Xamarin, we have a set of tools called the Telerik UI for Xamarin. And Xamarin gives you a lot of UI out of the box, but some of the really hard-hitting UI is the stuff that you do not want to hand-create, because it really takes our engineers months and months of efforts to create some of these UI controls. So things like charts and graphs and list views and side drawers and things like that. And you might get like a list view out of the box from Microsoft or Xamarin, but these list views are really like on steroids. They have all types of features of like swipe and pull to refresh. It's all ready and built out of the box. So it's just a very quick incentive to get your app out there as quickly as you can. So that's UI for Xamarin for us. And when you talk about some of the other platforms, so mobile web, you can pick up Kinder UI, completely free and open source. Go build your mobile web. Then when it comes to native apps, we actually have UIs for every platform. So there is UI for iOS, UI for Android, UI for Windows. And for example, the Xamarin tools are actually wrappers around some of our native controls. So you are truly rendering the native controls on each platform when you use Xamarin. And when it comes to the hybrid and the JS native stories, with hybrid, we try to give you more of a framework and the right set of IDEs and tools to actually build your app. So we're not trying to reinvent the wheel with Cordova. That ship has sailed, and they do a great job of bundling up your web assets as a mobile app. So we want to give you the right tools to go build that app. So Telerik Platform is our solution to kind of build a end-to-end mobile story. Because when you think about building a mobile app, you have to do a lot of things, right? So first, you have to sit down, you have to design your app, you have to prototype your app, actually build your app, connect it to a data backend maybe. You have to test your app. Maybe you don't want to be in the app store. Maybe you want to distribute your app only enterprise-wide. So for all of these things, you kind of need like one thing which helps you get all of the pieces together, and that's Telerik Platform is an offering from us. And then when it comes to JS native, our clear answer is NativeScript. And again, we work very closely with Angular teams. So you can go pure JavaScript all out if you wanted to, or you can go Angular 2 with TypeScript. In either case, the basic tooling is in a CLI format. So you can really work out of any platform that you're on, Windows or Mac. And one of the differentiators I think we try to offer is not having to have a Mac. If you're like purely a Windows guy, you don't have to have a Mac to write iOS apps. And I think this is something Xamarin or Microsoft would like to offer, but it's more of a Apple's handholding to make sure you have the right license and so on. We can do that with some cloud services. So when you fire up a build, we can give you a truly native iOS IPA package built in the cloud, because we take care of some of the licensing features and you just deploy your apps. And just the way you kind of build your app, it gets a little easier when you pick up some of the nicer tools. Android is a little bit of wild, wild west, but something like iOS or Windows, your phone needs to be unlocked with a developer account or a profile when it comes to iOS, and you cannot sideload otherwise. We give you easier ways in which you can just build the app, scan a QR code, and we just download the app straight to your phone. So for whatever app you want to build and whatever technologies you want to choose, you should be happy with some UI controls and frameworks from Telerik in Progress.